Well, folks, Christmas is done. I hope you all had a very merry Christmas, a great Christmas. But as we were driving to the church today, we were just thinking that, 25 days, you sort of start at December the 1st and work up to Christmas, and then it's over, it's past. We celebrated the birth of our Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, on Friday. And in just a few months, we will celebrate Easter. At that time, we will reflect on the fact that Jesus lived on earth, Emmanuel, God with us. He was falsely accused and crucified, and by that act, Jesus paid the penalty for our sins, that we might be able to be right with God. But Satan thought he had won, because Jesus had died on the cross. Yet he arose on the third day, as recorded in the Bible. He triumphed over sin and death. Jesus brought each one who accepts the gift of the Christ child into their lives victory over sin and death. Yet there's more, so much more. The Bible doesn't stop it with the birth, the crucifixion, and resurrection of Jesus. No, it goes on to declare that Jesus is coming back again. As Jesus ascended into heaven, the apostles were watching, and two men in white robes spoke up. Listen to what Luke wrote in Acts chapter 1, verse 11. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go." These two men prophesied. They declared, Jesus, who was born the Christ child, who lived among you, who was falsely accused and crucified on the cross, he who lived and rose again is ascending into heaven, and he will return. He is coming back someday, they declared. But we don't have to take Luke's word on the matter. The writer of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 28, wrote, "So Christ was crucified once to take away the sins of many people. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sins, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him." Then there is what Jesus stated in Matthew 26:64. "Yes, it is as you say," Jesus replied, "but I say to all of you, in the future you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven." In sharing about the end times, Jesus proclaimed in Luke 21:27, "At that time they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." These are just a few of many Bible verses which clearly declare that Jesus will return again someday. I guess the question is, when is someday? When is Jesus coming again? When will he return? Well, I would say he's coming soon. Soon and very soon, as the songwriter wrote. I know. For 2,000 years, they've been saying that. But I really think and believe that we are so close to the return of Jesus. I can't tell you the year, the day, or the hour, as no one can. But this I know, it is going to be soon. For you see, in Matthew chapter 24, the disciples asked Jesus, what will be the signs of the end times? And what will be the signs of your coming again? So Jesus shares with them, and he starts off by saying, there will be those who claim that they are Christ and mislead many. You know, just a couple of months ago, I had an email, and in his emails, he declared that he was Jesus. And he's just one of many over the years who have declared that they are Jesus. They are the Messiah. Then Jesus says, we will hear rumors of wars. And not just rumors, for nations will rise against nations. And along with these signs, Jesus says there will be earthquakes and famines in many parts of the world. Does this all sound familiar? I think you would agree with me that all these things have happened and are happening today. It sounds like our world today. Yet Jesus says, even when you hear of all these things happening, his coming and the end is not yet. It's not time. He says these are just the beginning of birth pains. They're not even the full-fledged birth pains. They're just the beginning. I believe we are well past the beginning of these birth pains. Jesus goes on to say in Matthew 24 that Christians will be arrested, persecuted, and put to death. Christians will be hated all over the world because they follow him. Jesus states that because of this, many will turn from their faith in Jesus and hate each other. Jesus goes on in Matthew chapter 24, verses 11 to 13, declaring, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. We see and hear of Christians being persecuted and put to death around the world. Between October 2016 and October 2017, Open Doors Ministries estimated that 3,066 Christians lost their lives due to their faith. This is believed to be a very low estimate, though, as some believe the top end of the scale would be more like, in that one-year period, 90,000 Christians were martyred for their faith. Regardless of the number, it is a fact that Christians around the world are being hated more and more. They're being persecuted and they're being put to death on a daily basis. We even see here in Canada that many look down on those who believe. And I tell you the truth, it will only get worse. Today, There are more false religions than ever, with their false prophets who seem to be able to lead many astray. Just think of all those false religions out there and all those gurus that are trying to claim they know the truth. There just seems to be more and more of it happening all the time. And would we not all agree that wickedness seems to be increasing daily? I mean, one just watches the news or goes online and sees the horrific events that are happening around our nation and the nations abroad of all the wickedness and horrid things that happen. And Jesus did not say these were the beginning of birth pains. No, he says these things are getting closer to the delivery, to the end times, and to Jesus coming again. Jesus is coming soon. We read in Hebrews 10:37, "For in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay." James declares, "You too, be patient, stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near." James 5:8. And Jesus proclaimed in Revelation 22 in the last half of verse 20, "Yes, I am coming in a long time." No, he says, "I am coming soon." I don't think there's any argument. Jesus will return. There's no doubt. And he's coming again, and it will be soon. So the question which might ring in the minds of many is, why would Jesus come back again? I mean, when he came the first time, he was insulted, ridiculed, rejected, and crucified. Why would he have any desire to return again? As Christians, we know it's because he loves us. I mean, that's why he came the first time, and that's why he's coming again. For he loves each one. Jesus loved us so much that he came to offer himself to take the punishment for our sins so that we could live with him for an eternity. When he returns, Jesus will take all the Christians from the earth to meet him in the air. We know that in John 14, verses 1 to 3, Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am." Jesus is coming to get his church, those clothed in righteousness, those who have walked and lived for him, to be with him forever. That is exciting. What an event we've got to look forward to. But Jesus is not just coming to remove the Christians from the earth to be with him. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 25 and verses 31 to 32. "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all his angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Jesus is coming to separate the Christians from the wicked. And then we can read in Jude chapter 14 to 15, Enoch, who lived in the seventh generation after Adam, prophesied about these people. He said, listen, the Lord is coming with countless thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment on the people of the world. He will convict every person of all the ungodly things they have done and for all the insults that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Jesus is coming to judge everyone. Each one will stand before God's throne and give an account of their lives. The ungodly are going to be convicted of their wicked and evil ways, which they never repented of. We read in other places of the Bible that these wicked folks will find their end in the second death, which is an eternal separation from the Heavenly Father. It says there will be a wailing and gnashing of teeth. For the Christian, the end is different. As we read in Matthew 16:27, for the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. The Christian, the one who stands firm to the end, will receive a reward from Jesus for what they have done, for how they have lived out a life worthy of him. The return of Jesus will be a horrific time for those who have rejected Jesus, for those who have sat on the fence thinking, there's still lots of time to repent of my sins, for Jesus isn't coming for a while. Jesus is going to come as a thief in the night. In the twinkling of an eye, it says, as fast as you can blink an eye, Jesus is going to return. There will be no time then to repent. Yet, on the other hand, for those who have repented, for those who love Jesus with their whole being and are serving him, they will be truly blessed when he comes again. Just think of meeting him in the sky and having him take us to that place he has already prepared for us. A place where there is no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more suffering. There will only be joy forevermore in the presence of our Lord and Savior. Jesus is coming again very soon to take the righteous to be with him for eternity. If this is true, and there is no doubt it is true, then what does that mean for us as Christians? Well, first and foremost, we must be ready for Jesus' return. We need to have our house in order, as it were. Do we love Jesus with all our heart, soul, mind, and with all our strength? Is he first place in our lives above all things? Are we living for him and him alone? We need to be ready, as Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 44. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. In Matthew 25, verses 1 to 13, there's a parable there, a parable about the 10 virgins waiting for a bridegroom to come. And they all had lamps and oil with them, and 5 were ready. 5 had enough oil with them. They had brought the extra and did what they needed to do to be ready for the bridegroom. But the other 5 were not ready. They weren't sure if they had enough oil in their lamps, and they had to go away and to purchase more oil. And while they were away, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready were welcomed into the wedding feast. And when the other 5 got back, the doors were closed. They were late. And they couldn't get in. They missed being with the bridegroom. The parable is about the coming of Jesus and is stressing the need to be ready, even though we're not sure of the exact timing. He is going to come, and we need to be ready for it. We don't want to be occupied so much with the things of the world that we miss his return, or we don't want to just think that he hasn't come yet, and he hasn't come for 2,000 years, and so I don't have to worry about it. We need to be ready for Jesus' return. And you know, if you continue to read on in Matthew chapter 25, there's another parable right after this one. And the next parable we read about is about the talents, where the master is going on a long journey and he gives his servants talents or money. Well, 2 of the 3 servants use that money and they multiply that money. And when the master returns, they give him what they've earned. But see, the other servant, he takes his talent and he's worried and he doesn't do anything with his talent, but he buries it. The master praises the 2 who had used the talents for his glory and strongly rebukes the man who just buried his talent and didn't use it at all. This parable, too, is about Jesus returning. He has given us all talents, giftings, which he expects us to continue to use for him each and every day until he returns. He expects us to live for him and work for him in this kingdom. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7, "Now you have every spiritual gift you need as you eagerly wait for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ." Did you catch that? We have the gifts we need, every one of the gifts we need to live for Jesus until he returns. And not only that, we are to be eagerly waiting for Jesus coming again. We are to wait with great expectation, believing that he might return at any time, but living our faith out until he does. It is pretty clear that Jesus was born that first Christmas. He lived on earth, was crucified, buried, and rose again. It is also just as true that Jesus will return. The facts reveal that his return will be very soon. We are to fix our faith firmly on the fact of the Lord's coming, living every day in anticipation of that great hope. May we heed John's instructions in 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. And now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. As we live for him faithfully, we can be confident when he returns, and we can be unashamed when he returns, because we've used the talents he's given us for his glory, for his kingdom. Let us eagerly look forward to the return of Jesus every day. Jesus is coming again, and it will be very soon. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for your instructions. You don't leave us blind without any instructions, but you reveal the truth that you've come. You sent your son. He's come. He was crucified for our sins, and he rose again. But that he's coming again. He's coming again. Thank you for letting us know that he's coming again, and that we can be ready for that coming. He's coming because he loves us and wants to take us to be with him, to the place where he's prepared for us. Thank you that we can be ready. And Lord, thank you that we can live for you until you come. Thank you that you've given us the gifts we need to reach out to the lost, to those who might not know you yet, that we can share your love and your goodness with them, that they might become ready, that they might surrender their lives and know you, that they might ask you to come into their hearts so they can look forward to that day with great expectation. Father, we thank you. We are citizens of a heavenly home. We are your children. Thank you for watching over us, leading us, guiding us. May we serve you faithfully until you come. In Jesus' name, amen.